This is a HeadGum Original.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Stella the Toothless, sunshade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her, time to drag her, drag her.
Oh my good God, heaven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Bottom, I'm Ano Agapian, and you're listening to the one and only RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Podcast. Holy shit, what a treat. Today, we have, I'm going to say, one of the forefathers of the gay internet today. This is a real treat for us. You may have met him at soccer practice. It's the icon, the magnate, the hostess with the homoist. It's Johnny McGovern.
Yes. Did you say the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, sweetie? It's the Father. It's daddy.
Father.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is funny because I always see you kind of hosting. I'm hosting you right now, which is really crazy.
I'm the host. Get into it. I love it. I'm going to relax.
It's a real flip-flop for you, I'm sure.
Yes, the only type of flip-flop that I do.
I have a million questions. First of all, can we talk about soccer practice? Can we talk about...
Get into the legacy, okay? Get into the groundbreaking of it all.
I want to know because I've been a fan for a while, and I just want to, and oh my God, we were both at Nico Santos's wedding sitting right next to each other, I might add.
Oh,
what a treat.
Yes. Oh my God.
Wasn't that a treat? You were next to my husband, technically.
Baby, that was like a luxury wedding without a luxury attitude. You know what I mean? It was so like, we just threw this together at the most beautiful, luxurious resort in Palm Springs. A simple dinner with three choices and eight types of glassware, a beautiful dance party, everyone looking stunning. That was, I'd say, the most moving and nice wedding I've ever been to.
I think it's
the best wedding I've ever been to.
No, it's the best wedding I've ever been to because it was, you nailed it on the head when you're like, it was fun. It was sweet. It was casual. It was opulent. It was everything. They entertained us. They fed us. They fed us the whole day.
The moving, to have one of the kids in the hall as the person who was the officiator.
Crazy.
And it took me a minute to realize who it was, but I was like, oh, this gentleman, whoever he is, is one of the best officiators I've ever seen in my life. And then I was like, oh, no wonder, because he's a fucking 40-year showbiz veteran and he's killing it. It was the most delightful wedding I've ever been to.
He took a break from crunching your head to crush the wedding ceremony. It was an iconic wedding. Yeah, it was the wedding of the year, if not decade.
And thank God we were there because, honey, if you look at People magazine all the way to the far left, the back of my head and my GCRT plaid jacket is there. Okay, so I was in People magazine.
For the Portland gays. The Portland gays were really here for me at that wedding. And I was like, God bless. I need to get myself to Portland immediately.
It was just a queer rainbow of delights, and no one had a bad attitude. It was Bill Hader was walking around in shorts.
Oh, that was
funny. Last minute.
That was funny.
Making out with Ali Wong.
That was delightful.
There were multi Balenciaga sneakers worn casually, including mine. And then someone, you know, I saw someone who had the more wild, weird ones. And I was like, oh, I wish I had worn those. I mean, it was a delight. I had so much fun at that wedding.
It was fucking iconic. Sorry to just brag about the amazing wedding we went to, but
sorry we were there, everyone. Sorry. The gay wedding of the year century.
Johnny, tell me a little bit about you. Like before you were like, oh, I'm going to create music and kind of be a social media star before that was necessarily known as a life path. Can you tell me about what brought you there?
What the fuck? Like delusion, I think. Like, I mean, because like when that all started, like when that, first of all, there was no influencer. There wasn't even YouTube. Okay.
I know.
Yet I, as an East Village underground sort of comic performer, was offered my first big opportunity of what do you want to do, kid? Because I've been performing around as the gay pimp with backup dancers pretending I was Britney and NSYNC. On tiny stages in tiny gay bars being like, this is my VMAs. Mm-hmm. And when some producer came in, saw me and was like, well, what do you want to do next? I was like, a video.
Yeah.
Why? There was nowhere to show the video. There was no YouTube to upload it to.
2005 or 2006?
Earlier than that. Okay. 2002 was when it was conceived. 2003 is when the shit came out. There was no YouTube. There was no path to downloading. I think I checked my email once a week in that era. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get you. And I remember that era very well because I just remember that era very well because I remember even being in college and being like, oh, like you can't really get good video online. Like you just kind of can't. I remember when Hulu launched, when Hulu was free and I was like, what? We can watch a TV show online? That's fucking crazy. So
I was on a commercial that aired on the Oscars for a wild and crazy new device by Kodak, which took pictures and played MP3s.
Jesus.
I want to let you know, they gave me one. That was around 2001. They gave me one, never used it, because that's how non-computer oriented everyone, and including me, was at that moment. I was like, MP3s? I've got my Walkman with the cassettes.
Iconic behavior. And now you're here.
I made that video and it blew up through the internet magically, like downloading it 5 million times from my fucking website, my janky website my roommate made. Wow. And then it got added to MTV Europe, MTV Asia. And suddenly I had a sideline career as a pop star for many years.
Whoa.
Which, you know, was a weird delight.
That's fucking. And then how did you get into Hey Queen? Like, and then you were like, okay, I'm going to be a host too because I'm just kind of good at being a host. Or are you?
Well, I start after Soccer Practice came out. I had a nerd best friend who knew better, and he was like, "You should do a podcast right now. It's a good way to connect to your internet audience." And again, I was like, "Sounds good." Mm-hmm. And me and all my friends found this tiny little studio in Williamsburg and started recording this podcast that was all about our lives. You know, at that time I was throwing parties in New York and having a very wild life, touring the world with my friends. And we did that show for 15 years, sweetie, back in 2006. I'm always 10 years early to everything.
Yeah.
And so it hasn't made me rich, but I have been cutting edge over and over again.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Well, and when then that ended, I got on Big Gay. Well, that didn't end, but I got on Big Gay Sketch Show, which was the first
I remember
sketch show with all queer cast produced by Rosie O'Donnell. And
I remember it well.
It was not a hit, but it did run for 3 seasons.
It was a hit to me.
It had a very niche audience. Like, as the joke went, I think that we even made on the show, it was queer audiences hungry for queer content or something to put on before the meth dealer arrives. You know what I mean? Like people who just put on like anything gay and turn the volume down. Joking.
We're joking. We're kidding.
Yes. Anyway, that ended.
Clark worked on that show, right?
Yes. I mean, it was a fucking star-studded cast. Everyone who was on it is richer and more famous than me. Kate McKinnon, Millionaires, oh my God, Kate McKinnon.
She was on there. Holy
honey,
shit.
Yeah, she had just gotten out of, she literally graduated college and found the audition for the show in backstage, went to the open call, got on it. And she was already exactly like she is now then, just smaller and younger. So, and everyone loved her. That was obvious. And then in season two, Colman Domingo, who's nominated for a Best Actor Oscar,
that's
honey, he was on.
Funny. That's crazy.
Playing
and
Maya
funny.
Angelou.
That's crazy and hilarious and funny. I need to find the sketch now.
Yeah, and what I would like to say to them is, can I borrow $20?
I like how you're doing it seance style. Like you're like, right.
Well, I'm hoping that if I yell it, they'll hear me over a few blocks away at the Oscars.
I fucking love it. Now you're doing Hey Queen. Hey Queen is everywhere. Now Hey Queen is, I mean, not only online, but it's on Wow Presents Plus. Tell me about that a little bit.
Well, just to connect the dots between Big Gay Sketch Show and Hey Queen, I eventually moved to LA, started doing stuff here, met this great studio called Power Media, who again was like, what do you want to do? And I thought I would do 8 episodes of having conversations with, where I would say, Hey Queen, and they'd say, Hey Queen, and I would just chat to interesting people. We'd do it 8 episodes, and I would think of some new project to do. Mm-hmm. But when RuPaul became the first guest, that kind of jumped it into something else. And also when Lady Red, who I was really close with before that even started, the idea of her in the mix where we could do it old Johnny Carson, Ed McMahon style, where I would host, Lady Red and I would chat at the top. She would go sit on the side and do whatever she did and react and be there as a drag presence and just give her personality. It became what it became, and we just did it on the time. The first episode, I think the table I was using as the desk was the table from the reception area at the studio with a cheap glitter fabric thrown over it and one sad fake orchid from like my apartment. You know what I mean?
Fucking love it. I fucking love it. Just all you need is a sheet and then you have a desk.
Honey, look, they had a big screen. They had lights. They had a camera. We were like, yes, we're now television stars. Let's do this. That was like 10 years of fucking hard work. That show was a DIY. Like, I edited it all. I booked the guests. I found made sure Lady Red had costumes. I did almost all the stuff. So now to be on Wow Presents Plus and really have a full team behind it, it's like the overnight success that only took 10 years to get. Like, working with Emmy-winning producers are producing me. I have an idea for, like, hey, can we get the wig plasma rejected that we have the picture of her in?
That's amazing.
Can we bring that and confront her with the wig that she cut up and left at the hotel? They can do it. So it's really exciting.
It's been really fun to watch this season. I've been a fan for a long time, but it's been really fun to watch this season because just when I thought, why do I need another interview from the drag queens? I was proven wrong because you do such a good job. I feel like getting like absolutely interesting, not only drama and tea from the girls, but like the way it's produced, like you actually get to see pictures of like when you saw Ozunami's old audition tape, I was like, oh, this is awesome. This is really exciting.
Yeah. You know what? To be honest, I also felt like, why bother have another conversation for a while before we started this? Because unlike when I started in 2014, where we were the place to go and there was nowhere else where these girls could really fully tell their story.
Yeah.
I mean, they can just go on live now and tell their story right when the episode comes out. There's 80 million podcasts, including like the big dogs, Entertainment Weekly, all the rest. Doing
and
it
somehow,
so, like,
this is,
you
still
know,
the only one I know.
And then all the other people who make great shows about drag content, which I enjoy watching that too, but as the person running the shit at the end of the last sort of run of it, not only losing Lady Red but then having to be like hamster in a wheel, being like, can I please get some cheese? Can I please get the cheese? And
that
then
is
you
funny
know
that it's like
I don't,
Michelle's talking about the dresses. And right. and Untucked, we're talking about the elimination. But honestly, I'm saying this to praise your show because you do an amazing job. I think you're a great host. You do an amazing job making it feel special.
Well, that is what's special about this. The reason why I knew it was right to come back was that with World of Wonder, I can get the girls right away. And we're recording the episodes the day the elimination episode comes out.
Oh, yeah.
So it's fresh. And then it airs the Monday after.
Yeah.
So that's what made me say, I am interested in doing this still because I still love drag. I still love drag queens. I still love Drag Race. And if I can be part of the initial conversation rather than 1 year, 2 years, multiple years later talking to people like you have to do when you're producing your own show, it it makes it a lot more exciting. So, yeah, I'm rejuvenated and alive. I'm working with WOW on this. It's really
fun. I love it. I am. Everyone go watch the new apps when they drop on WOW Presents Plus. We'll have
Mondays at 3:30 p.m. Get into
PM, it. 3:30. Wow. Right.
They, you know how fast they are editing around the fucking clock. We finish on Friday and they have a cut to me by Sunday.
Wow.
I mean, it's incredible. And I don't have to do it, which is really the best part.
What a fucking gag. Well, before we move on to this episode, I want to play a dumb game with you. We love a dumb game. And this one is because this one's produced by me. It will be done very sloppily.
I'm used to all my own sloppy dumb games. So go ahead.
We're going to play a game called Listen to Her. Where I ask you, I play a short audio clip of a drag queen and you just give me a brief impression. You can have a story, you cannot, I don't know, but whatever you want to say about that queen will be in Drag Race herstory, embedded, set in stone, in concrete forever. Are you ready?
Okay, great. No pressure. Got it.
Listen to her.
Life and get over. Get a Jade. Girl, bye. Bye. Get out. Get out. Get out.
That was Alyssa Edwards, and with a little bit of Coco. Any opinions on the wonderful Alyssa Edwards?
Just like someone who has, by force of personality, just become iconic in every way. You know what I mean? Like, because I would say that while she was great on her season, and because of all the repeated rewatchings, everyone has grown to love every iconic thing that she said. I think that, and I remember hearing this from someone that worked at WOW when it was just WOW Presents on YouTube, the Alyssa started really popping off in people's mind is when Alyssa's Secret was such a sensation.
Absolutely.
And honey, to make a sensation out of just you talking in front of a green screen and going popping and whatever, that is a star. Okay, that is someone who, when they just put the camera on and shot her, made herself iconic.
I remember the first time I saw her on season 5, I didn't quite get it at first, and then I was like, she's funny. But I mean, I remember on first blush being like, ooh, she's bitter. And now I think she's a genius and hilarious, and I couldn't be more obsessed with her.
Exactly. It's just like that. When you first saw her in that season, she was great and funny, but it wasn't until repeated viewings and diving deeper into how incredible of a personality she is.
Right.
You know, she did a video for Plasma for us for the last episode we shot with Plasma.
Cute.
And did a surprise video. And, you know, honey, she delivers every time.
Oh, I fucking love her. Okay, here's another one.
I could not believe it.
Okay, we'll just go off. I could not believe it. That was the iconic Raven. Thoughts?
Baby, I mean, I'm a stan. I'm a mega stan of Raven.
Absolutely.
Live Raven is just like to die for. Has always been a delight in person. It was great on the show. Like, God, thank goodness it was an early season other than now, because people could enjoy someone being harsh or cunty in previous seasons without ripping them to shreds and making them hate their life like they do now.
Yes.
Then, of course, ascended to angel status of makeup when everyone realized that her beat was the beat. And then when she started doing the RuPaul beat,
Yeah.
And got through the rocky year and went to the perfection years where she is now.
Yes.
That is just what a happy ending to just travel the world with RuPaul, making beauty, going on every season of Drag Race, just being there. I mean, how glamorous.
I am jealous. I mean, well, jealous. What's the word I want to use? Like, I'm sad that we'll never see her on a season. I don't think we'll see. I don't know. I could be wrong, but it's not likely we'll see her compete on a season again, which.
No,
she's one of my favorite drag queens, and she's so good, and I wanted to see her.
She would be incredible. And, you know, they give us a taste. We enjoyed the fake out at the beginning of UK versus the World 2
when Raven came
out on the runway.
She's done it a couple times, and it's funny every time.
And I love when she shows up.
Yeah.
And she's above it. She's above it. You know what I mean? Darling, I'm above it. Compete. I'm busy working behind the scenes.
I love that even when I see her now, she gives so few shits. It makes me even more. It would make me so horny to see her on the show again. Cause I'd be like,
agreed.
She doesn't give a fuck.
And the face is better than ever.
I know.
And I love when I see little Raven touches, like occasionally very specific Raven-y things on RuPaul. I love it.
Okay, here's one more. Listen to her.
I've had it officially.
I agree. I've had it.
And I'm so,
you know
I'm,
what I have?
It.
It.
Lies on.
That is, of course, Miss Detox. Mm. Thoughts. Mm.
Always a fucking delight in person. Like, you can see why everyone loves her from the world of Drag Race so much, because she's just such a down ass bitch. You know what I mean? When you are with her, there's no pretense. She's always so fun. And I think she was on what I would consider one of the most legendary episodes of Hey Queen, which was her episode. She did two, one in the early years. She was, I believe, our first guest. No, not first guest, but one of the first Drag Race queens to come on after Ru.
I remember this. Uh-huh.
And it was during the DWV like fight era.
So oh, it's a good era.
That she commented on it. And then I did get a text from Willem saying, I'd like to come on the show. I heard Detox was on the show. I'd like to come on and tell my side of the story. And then that she came on. And then that's kind of like almost the nugget of where girls coming on Hey Queen to send a message to another girl or whatever before, mm-hmm. of course, they could do that on Instagram and everywhere mm-hmm. else in the whole world. Mm-hmm. But that was kind of a moment for the show.
I love it.
And created great things. But the best episode was Detox's episode where Vicky Vox came to visit during the taping.
I remember this.
And was getting so into the commentary. And of course, it's just Vicky Vox that we were like, will you please sit in? Mm-hmm. to the show, and they did mm-hmm. all of the rest of the show together. The only episode that ever where I stopped during a break, I said to the producers, we are not stopping this, so we're just going to keep going. This is going to have to be two episodes because it was too good. It was our only two-part episode ever.
I remember they have so many crazy stories too, because they now have like the Dubai story and all of that madness.
I mean, yeah, they were spilling tea. It was a delight of an episode, two episodes. So go back and watch that on YouTube. It's really good.
Go back and watch that.
I'm putting up some of my favorite episodes on the Hey Queen channel.
Ooh.
Not separated out, because, you know, like back in the day, like if you're a YouTuber, you know, YouTube is like, your video was watched for 7 minutes.
Yeah.
That is your ideal time.
Yeah.
And I'm making an hour long show and you think like, oh my, none of my work is being appreciated.
Yeah.
And I want to make money. So we cut up all the episodes into multiple parts. So suddenly YouTube thinks like your videos are a huge success because people are watching 7 minutes out of 10. You're a star. But now I'm taking my favorite episodes, getting the uncut version of them, and we're putting them up as sort of like a retrospective. So Valentina was the first one, and now Detox and Vicky will be coming up soon.
Work. Link will be below. That was Listen to Hole. And for now, a delight, you know, a delight. For now, we got to take a break. So silence, Johnny. I feel like taking a break. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Okay, do you hear that? You hear that hot breath coming off of my chest? Because I got a lot of things to say. I swallow some things, and no, stop it. That's not funny, okay? Save it for the main stage of Drag Race. I swallow a lot of things like stress and like when people are being rude to me and when like I can just like navigate. That's kind of one of my issues as a person. Like I navigate issues by just swallowing it all, taking it in, and being the quote-unquote bigger person. Guess what? Getting things bottled up is not good for you. It affects you negatively because, mama, the body keeps the score. Ting, ting, okay? Your body is that NFL scoreboard, honey. And therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest. So why not work through whatever's weighing you down with the help of BetterHelp? I benefited so much from therapy, and I cannot express enough how important it is to have a regular practice of sharing your feelings. BetterHelp makes it so much easier, you know, because they have a broad range of therapists all over the world. You can conveniently connect with them on chat, on video, on text. I think you should really think about giving BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Honey, don't swallow that. Stop it. Don't you dare swallow that. You need to get that off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. Ooh, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me decrap my brain. Because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go. Visit betterhelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go! Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Bring back my break. We're going to actually talk about this episode now. What do you say, Johnny?
Let's go, honey.
Let's get into it. Okay, we're hot on the heels of Plasma going home. Ah! And with two wins. What a gag and a gog. Thoughts?
I mean, not a gag when we knew she had to go up against Queen of Flips.
Yes.
But a gag in the general arc of the whole show because she had just done well so many times and was so self-possessed.
I was gagged. I honestly, again, I love watching Maya perform, but I asked myself the question, was her performance the genre of the song? Like, is the nitpicky drag fan question I'm asking? Because sometimes girls get punished for doing a non, you know, not doing the genre. And I don't know if backflips is a goth, if you ask me. That's my opinion.
Right.
However, they love the Maya spectacle.
Yeah, she just pulled everything out. And then there's just something about Maya. We know she can flip, but I think she's proven several times this year that it's not the flips that have always won it for her. That previous lip sync was when she kicked off her shoes, which should have been an immediate chop, and did that little kind of churchy shuffle.
I know.
You know, that's why she won. That was why, because that was too charming to not crown it. And then this episode, what did she do?
Oh,
wig reveal?
She did, well, Yeah, she revealed black petals at a non-climactic part of the song. She did some backflips. Right. I was suspicious on the whole thing, but I guess for I also have a conspiracy theory that Rue never minds a theater queen going home. She's fine with it. She's fine with it. That's my conspiracy theory.
You know, it's like, I just think, again, there's a thing that happens when someone else is killing it. Mm-hmm. And this isn't your type of song. And the queen starts to not that she's doing bad, but she seems to start to flounder. And you mm-hmm. can tell that the wind is going because you're doing a lot. You're trying mm-hmm. everything. It's not quite working. And unfortunately, that was, I think, the case.
And I
in
think,
that last lip sync, just, you know, the power of Maya just edged it out. And poor Plasma had to do it in that goth look, which didn't really do them any favors.
No, that was one of the funniest, craziest things I've seen. And they've had a great sense of humor about it. But and I love the new goth look that they posted. Plasma looks fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, when Plasma came on Hey Queen last week, mm-hmm. Not only was she so charming, funny, hater proof, because she said anything that you could think to say about her, she said it herself and mm-hmm. first and funnier. Mm-hmm. But you know, she's much taller than I thought.
Really?
In real life. I was imagining a 5'3 tiny twink, but
me too,
in
actually.
Big stacked heels, they were my height, which means he's got to be like 6 foot.
Whoa. That actually shocks
like,
me
well,
too.
Well, my goodness, handsome.
Yes, so you love a tall story.
You know, I like all things, but sometimes when I think someone's tiny and they're actually tall, I'm like, well, look at all that.
I've had the opposite happen too, where someone looks tall in a picture and then they're not, which I'm fine with because I'll eat up a short king, munch munch, yum yum yum.
Me too. I prefer to be looming over
yes.
those that I make love to, but
you like
you know
lurch.
Sometimes I'll look at someone and be like, look at you, you tall drink of water.
I know. Okay, this challenge is happening. It's madness. It's a verse moment. It's for a song called Power. We're getting everyone excited about voting. I appreciate how excited we are about voting. There's a cynic in me that says, I wish they were like, Drag Race does a thing that where they attack an issue very delicately, and sometimes as a queer person, I wish they were even sharper with their messaging. You know what I mean? Like they were right. very kind, saying you should vote. Some of our rights are getting taken away, and sometimes I wish that they kind of pinpointed it a little more and saying, hey. Anti-trans legislation is being passed in this state and this state and this state. Let's talk about it.
Agreed. I agree that is something we need to tackle, and that they should have called the song Fuck You Homophobes and People That Don't
that
Like
too.
Trans.
Yes. Okay, there we go. They need you,
well,
Johnny.
It, you know, I'd love to slip into Leland's job, but the motherfucker keeps writing bops.
Leland,
there is no way around it.
Is fantastic, and I dare say the best songwriter they've had on the show's history.
Every time that during that Rusical, that song that was like "Girl" about the tea in the shade,
I thought
that should have gone to number one.
It was giving me Eurovision.
Ariana Grande should re-record it. It was
absolutely
so good.
Well, I mean, there's a reason why Leland produces for.
He is killing it. He's given so many
and
great
nice,
Drag
and
Race songs.
Very nice and cool in person.
A delight in person, humble and nice. So
you want to hear the embarrassing gay thing I did?
Yes.
I saw both Leland and Troye Sivan at High Tops, and they were both being very nice because they've come to my crunchy drag show and Bad Drag Race this Saturday. Come. Only a few tickets left. Meatball is hosting with me, well as the insanely talented Oscar Montoya, my sister. And I just was like nervous because Troye Sivan was right there. And to Troye Sivan, I was like, hi, Leland. I mean, you're not Leland. And like every gay part of my soul died because I just gay embarrassed myself. And guess what? They were both really nice and didn't give a fucking shit about it.
another friend of mine saw Troy Sivan probably with Leland hanging at the Eagle. And I was like, well, what were people doing? Were they all going insane? And I was like, of course not. It's homos. They were all being like, is that Troy Sivan? I don't know.
Oh, my God. When homos don't care, when homos want to let you know they don't care, they really let you know they don't care.
It gay guys will never be as excited to see gay guys. Now put a wig on them, people will lose their fucking mind.
I know.
But we are our own harshest critics.
I hate that
harshest
because
audience.
Johnny, I'm also a nice person. So like I'll always go a little too hard and I'll be like, hi, how are you? And then that turns some people off. Do you know what I mean? Like in some gay spaces, like being friendly, yeah, like makes people go, ew, what do you want from me?
Like, ugh.
Anyways.
So nice. I don't get it. But if I saw Troy Sivan, I would also try to play it cool, but I'm a big fan. I mean,
the nerves got me. So, and the nerves also got Maya Monlepage because she's trying to rhyme equal with equal. Equal with equal. Johnny. Johnny. Why was she not punished for this insanity?
I believe Megami told me when she was interviewed on the show that she came with verses to Drag Race.
Mm-hmm.
She had
written
some verses that she could adapt to anything.
Smart.
I would say that this is something all the girls should do.
Absolutely.
I mean, I can only imagine that if they don't put it on the illustrious and legendary list, you don't need to guess that you're going to have to do a verse on Drag Race. So
exactly.
If you're not good at writing, sweetie, get your most verbose friend and just prep a couple things. Equal. Watch the sequel. Equal.
Add it to
watch
the to-do
the
list.
Equal. I mean, like there are so many things she could have done.
Add it to the
maybe
to-do
one
list.
Of her sisters could have said, girl, if you could rhyme something different with equal. But I think everybody was hoping that they could somehow get her out of the race. So no help for her.
Q thinks no, this episode. I'm going to be the bitch of this moment right now, Johnny, and say this episode was very suspicious for me. I didn't, you know, anytime we have a No One Goes Home episode, I pull out my microscope. And then I did not think this was an episode that was, quote unquote, so amazing that warranted everyone staying. So for me, I was just like, what? Like, yay. But why? Like, if you had to guess, I know I'm not shitting on anyone, but some people didn't do as good. So why was this week the week that everyone said, you know what? Pause. Is it just because of the voting messaging? What was it?
Hard to say. I did think that no one was bad.
Okay.
And maybe, and I have no knowledge, maybe the immunity potion giving screwed up whatever the initial thought was. Who knows?
That's a fun theory. I know we're being very transparent saying we don't know, but that's a fun theory that may have thrown a cog in the works, because in this episode, Dawn, who is emerging as the true villain of the season, Dawn is, you know, whispering in plain Jane's ear, like, you should lie to her and say you're going to give it to her and then don't, which was very interesting TV moment. What'd you think?
Girls, keep it interesting. Thank you, Dawn. Thank
you,
Dawn. Thank you, Dawn. We don't need everyone to be nice all the time. Crazy people who watch the show who I guess need everyone to be nice, except for their faves who can do whatever the fuck they want or whatever. We like it when it's interesting. Okay. We like it when people say things like that. So thank you, Dawn. Thank you.
Yes.
Keep it interesting.
Yes. Before we talk about the dance challenge, I just want to give a special shout out to Safira educating and bringing, you know, her knowledge of the Negro National Anthem to this show. I fucking love her, and I love that she's, you know, taking some space to educate people who may not know that.
Get it, honey. I mean, you've heard it before. If you watch Beyonce Coachella, she opened with it. If you're a lover of R&B and black music, you know this song, honey. I mean, I knew the lyrics of that song in high school because I loved soul music so much.
Oh, from Shucked. What's their name? Alex Newell. Alex Newell.
Yes.
Alex Newell's version is, oh, it makes me cry every time.
I mean, a great anthem. And yeah, great to, you know, the fact that like this was the highest rated episode of Drag Race ever. What a moment and show to have your message in.
This one was the work the world yeah. is. Even more
yeah,
than
this episode was the number one rated episode, the highest ratings they've ever had, ever.
Oh, what a ever. Shame. What a shame.
Well, it's just like it means that people are tuning in.
I like that people are tuning in. I just thought this was, I'm going to be a real, I'm sort of a Drag Race dork, nerd, freak. And this wasn't my favorite episode of the show.
Oh, was it the greatest episode of all time? No, but if I had never seen Drag Race and I watched the fucking Power production number, sweetie, I'd be like, what is this?
Okay.
Who are these exotic women?
So let's quickly talk
Look
about
at her makeup. We're spoiled with Look 16 years of incredible television.
We
so
are absolutely
if this
spoiled.
Was your first episode, I bet you think this was one of the best episodes you've ever seen in your life.
Know,
because you'd never seen it.
Maybe you're right. And I'm being a grumpy little Drag Race gay.
Baby, we've been spoiled with some of the greatest content ever made, the queerest content
ever
agree. Made.
I do agree on that. And also, like, even from the beginning, it was one of the best reality TV shows. You know what I mean? Like, truly from season one, it was an excellent reality TV show. So like the fact it was on top of that, on top of being so gay for all of us is like very special.
Before I came back on Hey Queen, you know, I ran, created, directed, produced, and edited a reality competition show called Go Go for the Gold. Obviously a child of the RuPaul format. And honey, anytime I had a question on how something should go, I would go back to old episodes of Drag Race and be like, this is when they had no money. How did they do it? And so I was like, oh, okay. I can do it like that because I also don't have a tiny budget for this.
Producible. Give them all digital cameras. Remember they all had digital cameras in season one and they had to take pictures of themselves with digital cameras.
The way it's evolved, honey. Remember when they just walked into the workroom and said hi.
Hi.
Thank you, Laganja Estranja, for changing all that.
Yeah, Laganja did kind of change that.
She changed it.
She shook it up. Was there any iconic ones before Laganja?
Girl, it was all like, hey there, hi.
Wait, you're right. Or even in season five, a lot of them, well, like there's a couple of, you're right. There's a couple of weird tiny ones, but you're right. Laganja deserves that credit.
She's the one who made it into a thing.
It's a thing. It's a moment. It's a performance.
Yeah. And now it's like your first step onto the world stage is whatever the fuck you say there.
Yeah.
I'm still sometimes amazed with when people blow it. You know what I mean? Like,
fully.
You can say anything.
Fuck. Okay, let's quickly talk about the Power performance. Quick impressions. Impressions on Dawn, who's been called funkless, but I didn't think she did bad at all. Like, I kind of enjoyed her performance, frankly.
Dawn is so alluring. That it makes up for maybe some of her rhythmic challenges in the way she delivers. So same with, again, same where the talent show where maybe that wasn't my favorite song, but her visual presentation with the sleeves going out and all the rest made up for it. So I think Dawn's allure. And I thought her movement in this was good. Her verse
was too.
Fine.
I felt like it didn't feel awkward. Not to be a cunt, but like, you know, whereas Q's feels very, very stiff. Dawn's felt like, hey, I know I can't move a ton and I'm going to kind of keep it. I'm going to keep to what I can do, you know?
No problem with Dawn's movement. I thought she looked good. I thought, you know, it was good. It was, no one was bad. So she was good. Not one of the greatest.
True. Maya Iman LaPage giving Beetlejuice at the Super Bowl halftime show. What'd you think of the performance?
You know what? She is also a dynamic performer. Was this Maya, like in Thick and Stick? No, no, that's when she came alive and you said, baby, put this girl group on the road.
I know.
This, again, wasn't the strongest verse, but I love the Beetlejuice look. And any chance to see her do.
You do.
The movement. Yes, I'm okay with it. Plus, we know nice that person. Maya Iman LePage had a lot of issues right before the race with her costumes not being delivered.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She had 5 full looks that someone completely just didn't give her.
Wow.
So she had to do with what she had to do with.
That's good tea.
When you know that information.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I will give her that. I will say if it was up to me, I probably would have put her in the bottom this week. But again, I love the underdog story of Maya Iman LePage. Yeah. Next, Morphine. What'd you think of Morphine?
Why she got critiques that weren't all positive is beyond me. I thought this was good.
I think she was solid. Correctly in the top 2. I thought she was amazing. I did agree that her and Safira were just head and shoulders above. Yeah, she was great. She felt it. My eye kept traveling to her. She was great.
I mean, the hair did a lot of hard, beautiful work.
Who she borrowed from Plain Jane, controversy.
Oh, Plain Jane loves to lend a wig this season.
I know.
Sister.
Both this and the runway, if you can believe it.
Yeah, and that Cher wig of Plain Jane's has been worn 3 times.
That's insane. But wow, I guess Plain Jane is not the villain she paints herself out to be.
Plain Jane is the most fascinating player to have on Drag Race in a long time. I cannot wait to finally talk to her and get the behind the scenes thoughts of how she approached this season.
Yeah, I think she's one I might appreciate in a couple years because on this, you know, I'm one of the humbuggers of Plain Jane this season that's been like, huh.
How dare you?
I'll tell you what, Johnny, I'll tell you exactly what I think.
Give me a break.
I love that she's drama, but is she funny? I'm like, I love that you read a bitch, but are you fun? These are the questions I ask myself when I watch the show.
Is it the wittiest repartee we've ever heard?
No. Maybe no.
But is it ballsy?
Yeah.
To decide that you're going to come in like that. Yes it is. Villain yourself. I mean, in the tradition of Mistress Isabel Brooks. Get it.
I'll just go on record and be harsh and say Mistress would eat her up. If they had to read each other, Mistress would eat her up.
Mistress would eat anyone up. That is a wit and I mean, Mistress Isabel Brooks, every moment on screen, delicious, delightful. Yummy.
It's lovely.
But I'm a fan of Plain Jane and all the drama she's brought. You know, like what contestant in the last, I don't know how many years, does every interview with every girl say, what did you think of blank? Except this season on Drag Race. No one cared about every single person's opinion on one specific queen as much as they have this year with Plain Jane. Like, no girl can escape an interview without someone asking them, what do you think of Plain Jane? And let me tell you, that's
a win. That's a huge win. I will absolutely. And I mean, yeah, she's in many ways reinvigorated the villain edit of Drag Race in a new way. So I got to give her that.
Yeah, so it kept it interesting for me.
We're going to talk more about this, but first, silence, Johnny. I feel like taking another break.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Bring back my break. Nymphia's here doing another banana look. I'm actually getting upset. I'm going to go on the record and say I'm fucking sick of bananas. And I defended the bananas in week 6 and 7 and 8. And now it has to stop. What do we think about her verse and her performance?
I thought this was very strong.
I loved her performance. I wanted the lyrics to be better.
I actually thought that the space that she gave in not having a lot of lyrics, because we just saw her struggle with that, mm-hmm. was actually good. I think a lot of the people who had issues was because they tried to shoo doop da ba da ba doop boop ba da da ba ba mama roo snatch the crown. You know what I mean? They got sure. a little too many words in there. Whereas okay. Nymphia Fair. Like had moments of space. And I thought her performance of this was
she's an amazing really performer. Good. And so for me, I'm like, wow, the fact that for me, I didn't like the lyrics. So I'm like, the fact that you had a barely syncopated lyrics and you made it fun through your personality and charisma and actual dance talent work.
Yeah. I mean, look, again, with these challenges, we've gotten some of the greatest drag verses that will ever be versed. D to the O to the hold it X. Like you're competing with that.
Yeah.
So it's like you write the verses beforehand, girls, and get someone to look it over. Do like they used to do with but there was that era where a lot of the girls were hiring like Jackie Beat or other mm-hmm. funny queens to write their reads for them before they went to Drag Race.
Sure.
I feel like this is what we should be doing with our verses, girls. Well, if you're not a natural talent in writing.
You're so 100% right. What did you think of Plain Jane's? Because this one, you know, some of the judges, they said she wasn't as strong as she usually is. Although I actually didn't think she was as strong as she usually is. What'd you think?
I thought, again, I was like, not as strong as she usually is. She was great. Like she looked at the floor once or twice, which always makes you look like something's going on with you. Maybe she was trying to get that choreography together or whatever. But I thought she was strong. And when I later heard the criticism, I was like, that's grasping at straws, in my opinion.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. I guess to be fair, I didn't love the funk theme of this whole challenge. So I had a hard time picking out the highs and lows. So I think this one just washed out in the middle for me.
Is it the funkiest cast? No.
No.
So this might have been a different outcome. This was a funkier cast.
This felt like a Safira setup. Like it really did. They were honey. Safira's gonna win this, and they're like, great, great, because I love her so great. Okay, let's talk about Q being the drunkest James Brown in hers. I didn't think this was very good, but that's all. I didn't think this was very good. That's all I have to say. I'm so sorry.
Not to be a Pollyanna, but
she's Pollyanna. She's giving Polly.
I thought that actually in the world of weird P-Funk type characters, you know what I mean? Like if you know the old P-Funk world where they had all sorts of strange characters in the group and they would do different verses. I thought this weird half singing,
I guess, but
you kind of pulled it off for me in the end here. Like it was weird, but I thought, like, I don't know. This is why maybe nobody went home, because
I
found a lot of everyone charming.
Yeah, they're all charming, but here's what I'll say. What's the point of Plain Jane having immunity potion if the real people with immunity are Maya, Iman, LePage, and Q? Because in my opinion, when they do the things they're not good at, the judges don't care. So that's just me being a bitch. But when they're the ones with actual immunity, because no matter how much Q doesn't dance and no matter how much Amaya doesn't talk. They're both like, it's fine. We'll see you next week. It's fine. That's my harsh opinion.
The judges have a lot, you know, we can never be sure of what the judges are going to be looking at. Because in another season, I think we would have heard some Nymphia banana critique.
I know.
Like, we didn't let Crystal Method have two episodes of that distinctive makeup look before we told her we're sick of this.
I know.
We didn't let Max get through the season without telling him to get rid of that gray hair.
I know.
And maybe it's because Nymphia's bananas are just pretty high-end fashion bananas. That
I mean, her fashion
it's just
is
like
good.
It still looks better than so much other stuff. And it's like, well, another killer banana look. The thing is, they're always good.
True. Let's talk about Safira's obvious winning edit and how she smokes these other girls in this. It's just her and everyone else.
Safira is just a delight to watch perform. Before Drag Race this season came out and before the reveal of the queens, I had discovered a clip of her doing an Ella Fitzgerald song that's all scatting called Airmail Special.
Wow.
And if you look, there's a great TikToker named Captain Wonder who always catches all the greatest drag performances. I don't know how this motherfucker gets everywhere that he does, but he's giving you, if you want to see what somebody's is doing
what's
live,
the handle again?
Captain Wonder.
Oh, I follow them. Yep, I follow them. I love it.
That's where you're going to find classic performances of some queens who are now on, as well as things they're doing now. But there's a clip of Safira doing Airmail Special, which is a song that's like, and she is killing it.
I love that account very much.
I love seeing Safira perform. She is so good.
I love that I can actually be like, here's a clip of Monet in 2011, just like like
it's
Little
a
Mermaid. Yeah, it's delightful.
Yes, he's captured some really legendary moments, and I love it.
So if the time has come for us to chirp or burp these looks. You know, Johnny, we're the only Drag Race podcast talking about this show. And so heavy is the crown. So we need to look at these looks. If we like them, we can chirp them. If we don't, we can burp them and have a small chat about it. Are you ready?
Okay. Let's do it.
Category is True Colors. First, it's Maya Iman LePage giving ruby red dress and pussy.
Chirp.
Okay. I'm going to be.
I think it's fine. It's good.
It's fine. I mean, it's fine.
Are the proportions like, what if I liked maybe a bigger boob or a corseted moment? Perhaps.
Yeah.
But the dress, the garment is lovely. And I think her face looks pretty.
Yeah.
But is it tops? No. But do I like it? Yeah.
I'm going to burp it, not because it's bad, but because I'm getting very, I don't know. I have sympathy. I think she's cool. I think she's a wonderful performer. But I just really think this could have been a great week for her to surprise me. And when Michelle was like, oh my God, we're seeing your neck. I was like, are we? I actually think this, this dress is like kind of high and tight. I'm burping it because I'm a monster.
Okay. All right. Well, Queen of Flips is not flipping on top of your table when you order the chicken fingers at the palace. Okay. Just remember that.
Okay. Fair enough. Nymphia Wind. God damn her. Giving us more bananas, giving us Carmen Miranda.
But baby, I mean, again, like, how can you hate the bananas when the bananas look this fucking good? Like, wow.
Think
of on tour, when she does the banana solo tour and wears all of these banana outfits in one night.
Yeah.
You're going to live.
I mean, this is, I like the green touches. I really do like the green touches. I think that really, like, honestly adds dimension to this and that is this outfit needs. These little lime green petals. Yeah. I think that really helps.
Not all the bananas are ripe. You know what I'm saying?
I have half a mind to burp it because I'm sick of bananas, though.
Don't you fucking dare. Look
what
at
would
the
you
details.
Do?
Look at the details. Oh, I would give you, I'd peel your banana.
Okay, so you're threatening me with a good time? Okay, I'll give it a light chirp, but I am tired.
I'm going to give it a heavy chirp.
Okay. I love that, Johnny. I love it. Plain Jane giving emerald veins. Ooh, emerald veins. What'd you think?
Beautiful.
Very
facial
lovely.
Beauty.
Facial
lovely.
Beauty.
Lovely.
Hair beauty.
Exciting.
Body beauty.
Perhaps not. Perhaps not. Exciting, but still a chirp because a beautiful garment.
Yeah, but okay.
Look at the, I do look at her when she's doing this. I mean, like Plain Jane does know how to work her face for the beauty.
She is a very beautiful person.
Also the body shape, the padding here is, I'd say, exquisite. Very well done.
I wanted one more piece of green at the top of her outfit, whether it was like a shard in her hair or something like that. Oh, there is a shard in her hair.
Well, there is a shard, bitch.
There is a shard.
Sister.
Fine, I'll chirp it, but I'm not all that happy about it.
Okay, well, she's not giving you the immunity potion, baby.
Yes, she does give it to Nymphia, which is the gag of the season and the beginning of her friend edit.
I mean, you knew that she has to have studied Bianca Del Rio's run on
Yeah, it doesn't
Drag
feel
Race
like that.
To
yeah.
see how, I mean, and everyone should who's trying to go for a say, I'm going to be a bitch this season.
Yeah.
You've got to go back and study
yes.
Bianca Del Rio's perfectly played
yes.
season. Which has not only led to her becoming almost an untouchable star that she can say whatever she wants and yes. people be like, oh, Bianca, she's a sweetie.
Uh-huh.
She really managed to show like heart of gold as well as tongue of acid.
Yes.
And I was wondering how Plain Jane was going to try to incorporate that into her run. And I guess we're still waiting to see. I don't think it landed as sweetly as it could have this episode. But, you know. You have to follow who's done it the best. And we know that was Bianca.
T. Safira giving.
Wow.
I mean, Marge Simpson. Bridgerton's Marge Simpson, if you will. Holy shit.
Did she go to Hogwarts to get some kind of
Jesus
magical suitcase?
Christ.
That fit all of this stuff that she brought this year? I mean, what the fuck.
Well,
this is incredible. This is stunning. This is gorgeous. This is breathtaking. This is a gag. This is a serve for serve's sake.
After she wins the season, I'm sure you're going to ask her how she got all that shit there. So please let me know.
That is a question on top of my list for Safira.
This is stunning. It's again, it's her and all the other girls on this runway. So this
I think was it Rue that said the role of Eveline from The Wiz will
yes,
be played
by
Marge Simpson. I mean, that's on the nose. Exactly.
She's
fantastic.
So good. She's so good. We don't deserve her. And if she doesn't win this season, because I will say one interesting thing about the edit today made me go, Nymphia is, she could still be a winner, but she's not playing it like a winner. Again, that doesn't mean she can't win, but I'm a little worried for her because she's leaning into her youngest sibling energy a little too much in a way that scares me. I'm like, you can still win this if you want it. But there's something about her edit that's starting to scare me.
The current internet loves an insecure person. So
yes, fair.
We'll see.
Holy shit, Dawn giving me paralysis night demon, Tinky Winky, twinkle little star, wonder where you are. I fucking love this.
So good. It's like your sleep paralysis demon is also working, you know, a shift at the strip club.
100%.
After she paralyses as you.
Yes.
And the tail, the little tiptoeing of the heels.
Yes.
It's so Dawn.
It's amazing.
It's really good. I really like Dawn in general and think that the stuff that she's brought to the runway is, you know, people so were always exciting. Saying, oh, she's just Willow Pill. She's whatever. She's not. She's very much not.
She's very much not. She's given us so much versatility. She's given us so much makeup weirdness. She's given us looks. She's given us weird silhouettes. She's absolutely under-celebrated, especially on this season, because there are so many runway queens that sometimes people aren't appreciating how good hers are.
Agreed, 100%. And I actually love Dawn's interview look, too. Yes. It's very cute.
Q giving lilac, wide, wide, wide brimmed hat. Thoughts? It's very Renaissance.
It is. It is. There are elements. I like a lot of the elements on this.
I like that she, her face, I really like her head up. I like the hat. I like that she looks different, you know? Like, she looks like, kind of like a pop star from the early aughts.
And yeah, exactly. Early aughts Gucci is what some of this is giving me. Like, those purple ruffle pants are giving me kind of a Tom Ford at Gucci in the early aughts.
Come on, reference.
That sort of, I like that. Does the top... isn't really my favorite, but again, this is a full look with many different elements, so I do enjoy it. Maybe not one of my favorites.
Are you chirping or burping?
I'm chirping, sweetie, because no, I mean, the work to put even this that I say, like the top is it's still chirp for me.
I still have to chirp it because I really also appreciated just like how this presentation gave me, a totally new flavor of her drag. And it's stunning. So I had to go.
She's brought a lot. That goth look, though, some people were trying to be like, it's not goth. Honey, the white face, the Uncle Fester face made it goth. Okay.
I thought it was goth. It gave me Hellraiser, and Hellraiser is goth as fuck.
Thank you. Thank you. I agree. I mean, she has served us so many looks. And, you know, I do love, because I'm a number one fan of Kevin Aviance, who is, of course, from featured on Beyonce Renaissance album.
Of course.
And does all the new openings for Hey Queen. I love a bald queen bringing baldness. You know what I mean? So work cue.
You can't deny that. And the fact that she made that. I mean, that bow the size of Kansas, like, feel goth. I was like, yeah, that fucking works. I don't know. Well, it was awesome.
That I have no idea about sewing at all in any way, shape, or form. Like, if you had a gun to my head, I could sew a button. But when I think about someone making this shit there in 2 days, it's like, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sick. Morphine Love Dion giving deep purple eggplant. Very good. Very good.
This person is so beautiful.
Really it's beautiful. Like
the stamped beat, the stunning look, the body.
Really good.
I love this look. And I just think that she, even at a moment that people didn't live for, like the flower runway jumpsuit, I still enjoyed because she sells it.
Yeah, I thought this was really gorgeous and good. It wasn't the most surprising thing for her, but I think it's absolutely.
I don't think that her thing is always surprising us. Yeah. Really, you know what I mean? Like, she is giving, she gives what she gives. And what
which
she
is
gives, how
woman.
She gives it is. Yeah, she's giving you woman,
she's
lady,
giving,
rich woman, beautiful.
She's giving you labia. She's giving you vaginal opening, uterus. Okay, baby?
Pregnant someday with a child.
Fallopian tubes are chugging along.
Yes.
So here we go. Let's talk about the end of this episode. Plain Jane gives her potion to Nymphia. Wow. Nymphia drinks it. She's thankful. Wow. Yum, yum, yum. She goes to the back. And now we have a very interesting, scary thing. Who's in the bottom? Wait, what? You mean Plain Jane and Q aren't in the bottom after all? Nope. It's a top two. And we have Morphine and Saphira vying for top prize. Thoughts?
You know,
Okay. Yeah, this is when the episode fell apart for me a little bit. Also, look, this lip sync song.
I love a chance to see a lip sync for the win. I do love that.
Yes.
But if I was one of the girls, I'd be like, nobody goes home. What the fuck?
I mean, they at the very least, first of all, this song is cursed. Meghan Trainor is not gay culture. She's straight culture. And I mean, this mid-tempo, mid-energy song.
Why?
And I get though that they were like, oh, this is not a song you can fight for your life to. This is a song you can kind of scoot kaboot to. So we'll make it a for the win lip sync, maybe?
I don't know. I mean, the thing about this lip sync is that this is a hard song to lip sync to for your life.
Awful song from hell. But cursed.
Look at Safira's face.
I know.
Performance, baby. This
Safira
is when you know someone
made me like
is
this song almost.
Such a star.
Almost.
Because
such.
She is not moving. She is. The okay. whole first half of that is just her face giving you a performance. And look, it's just like, wow.
It's perfect.
Wow.
And the way she drops her dress, I'm literally have been rewinding 8 times because I don't even understand how quickly she snapped and spun.
What a
off.
Move. What a serve. What a thinking ahead just genius. In case.
Literally science lesson, children. The fact that she took it off and spun because she knew when she spun that would prevent it from snagging. I mean, this bitch, I fucking love her.
Just the look in her eyes. This song is not exciting. It's
no,
a song I don't enjoy.
No,
but when I see Safira perform it, I'm like, oh, yes.
I agree. She made me, she charmed me. She gave me the mod of it. She gave me the 60s.
She is such an incredible performer. Like,
unbelievable.
Wow.
I love her so much.
And Morphine was cute. Look, she's cute. She's gorgeous. She's beautiful. But I'm sorry. As we are looking, we're watching the frame by frame of this.
Yeah.
And just look at her eyes.
I know.
She's so good.
Undeniable. I really think she may have just won this season. And now the second time she's lip syncing for a win in one season, which is funny.
Yes.
She's amazing. Safira wins. Chip, chip, cheerio. 7 girls remain. Any other
7
thoughts?
7 girls remain.
Any other thoughts before I want you to plug Hey Queen again, but any other thoughts on this episode or this season before we close the book?
Just that, like, God, every year they've managed to find a new crop of stars for us to be fascinated with. And like, hats off to fucking casting, honey. I mean, again and again, it like we've never had something like this in queer culture where we have a group of people who are revealed to the world and immediately become stars, like real stars.
You're really
who can
right,
make
Johnny.
Money off of being appearing.
You're making You're making the cynic in me melt quite a bit. This is good for me. This is good. You're right.
That, like, look at them. Look at all of them. Look at what they, I mean, it's
God
just damn. Like. I also want to shout out this season, RuPaul's face. Once again.
Oh, my God.
RuPaul's body. Once again. It's just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
This
the amount of
person
outfits.
Has looked stunning for so many years on so many platforms.
I mean,
oh
also at this
God.
Point, she's worn 2,000 different dresses just for fucking episodes of Drag Race, which is so crazy. I did love the one from this episode. I love that she was still having fun. She's still having a blast doing it, which is crazy.
I just love RuPaul. I'm listening to House of Hidden Meanings, honey, and I'm
Ooh.
Looking for the hidden meanings.
What is the hidden meaning? Is it penis?
She actually tells a story in the front that the front of the book that's like, one time when I was doing acid with my friend, he said, this is the house of hidden meanings, and went on this long diatribe about it. And I really thought it was incredible. But when I came to and got sober, I realized that was all bullshit.
I love that. That I respect. Oh, Johnny. Okay, I guess it's time we bid adieu. Remind us where we can watch Hey Queen. Hey Queen.
Every Monday, new episodes. Honey, they get eliminated Friday. I talk to them Friday.
Wow.
The episode comes out Monday.
Wow.
Getting all of the tea. I'm able to use props from the show. I had the immunity potion. The real immunity potion on the set. And I gave it to the girls to drink. We called it the shade immunity potion so they could shade the other girls.
Wow.
So much fun. If it's an episode like this one where the girls don't go home, then we have somebody else from the show that comes on. So the last episode that'll have aired when this comes out is Jamal Sims comes Ooh. On and tells me.
Oh, I was okay. Fun.
The stories, baby.
Oh, man.
Jamal Sims has worked with Michael Jackson, Britney.
Wow.
Janet. Shit. I mean, like all the hugest stars, Celine Dion.
Wow.
He was in the the RuPaul Vegas show in the 90s. Okay.
Wow.
The Sahara Casino show in the 90s, which was just RuPaul and two backup dancers, and one of them was Jamal. Okay.
Wow.
So we get clips from that. We get the behind the scenes tea. RuPaul and his husband inspired Jamal to come out because he was in the closet initially.
Cool.
It's a great interview with him. And the girls are coming on and they are spilling and it's so much fun. So go on over, check it out.
Wow. All those links are below. So click clack in the podcast description. If you like Drag Her Podcast, follow us on Instagram at Drag Her Podcast. Give us a 5-star review and the Apple Podcast or Spotify will read it live on the pod and you will be seen.
Drag her.
Drag her.
Drag her.
Till next time, my dears, let the music play.
Oh, so fun.
That was a HeadGum Original.